This is the Inkabal Science Show.
This is Route 97.9 FM. Welcome to the Inkabal Science Show. My name is Olorun Toba Yusuf. Great to have you join us on today's episode of the show. Basically, on the Inkabal Science Show, we'll talk about science with lots of topics. We'll bring experts from different fields into the studio to help us break those topics down. So today, we'll be looking at palliative care for cancer patients. Our guest is Dr. Chukwudonso Ugochukwu. Of course, today's topic has been designed in commemoration of World Cancer Day, which was on the 4th of February. So it's been put together to raise awareness on cancer and encourage its prevention, detection, and treatment. So in commemoration of this year's theme, Closing the Care Gap, this week's episode of the show is about palliative care for cancer patients and helping them live happy and live a prolonged life. Remember, the Inkabal Science Show is also available on Spotify, Anchor, and Google Podcast on Inkabal Science Show. You can also listen to the show every Monday, 9 o'clock to 9:45 on the Beat 97.9 FM. There's a repeat broadcast of each episode on Thursdays at 5 p.m. So, the palliative care for cancer patients in commemoration of World Cancer Day. Dr. Chukwudonso joins us on this one. Is the Department of Radiation and Oncology in the University College Hospital, UCH Ibadan. Doctor, great to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, so I feel like there's a lot to unpack when it comes to cancer and its prevention, detection, and care, especially in a country like Nigeria. But so I think we should first start off with, before we get into palliative care for cancer patients, we'll start off with what cancer is, its major causes, prevention, detection, and what have you.
Okay, thank you very much. Cancer is more like an abnormal growth that can arise in any part of the body, and it's when it arises, it can actually also move or spread to other distant organs, which brings the dangerous aspect and also the parts that needs attention and also palliative care.
Okay, so abnormal growth.
Yes.
So what are the major causes of this? Is it genetic? Is it...
All right. There's a genetic aspect, and there are other etiological factors we call modifiable factors and non-modifiable factors. Okay, and we have things like environmental pollution. We have viral causes, like in cervical cancer. The major cause of cervical cancer is human papillomavirus type 16 and 18. Also, we have things like pollution, petrochemicals like benzene and all the types of petrochemicals. We have smoking, and we have also alcohol intake. These are etiological factors, things that can predispose one to having cancer. Mm.
Okay, so the most common types of cancer that, in this part of the world are very common, breast cancer, the cervical cancer you mentioned, prostate cancer as well. What are the causes of this one?
Okay, for cervical cancer, like I mentioned earlier, the most important factor is the human papillomavirus. And also in prostate cancer, we have hereditary causes, and also we have other predisposing factors like people that don't eat fruits, vegetables enough, especially when we have a lycopene, which is protective of prostate cancer. Also, it's very important to emphasize here that prostate cancer can be very, very hereditary, and also in breast cancer also can be hereditary. There's also what we call BRCA mutation genes, which are implicated in both breast cancer and prostate cancer, and also the ovarian cancers. Okay, in this environment, we have some cancers that are peculiar to male and female. we have breast cancer, we have cervical cancers, and also for peculiar to females. But in males, we have prostate cancers, we have colorectal cancers, which are peculiar to them. And also, it's important to state in this program that the global burden of cancer in the environment is quite alarming. Over the estimated population of 206 million people, we have 124 cases of new new cases of cancer as at 2020, and also we have about 78,000 deaths. So that calls for a reason to rethink, and also that brings us to why we actually created awareness about cancer. We talked about screening, or we talked about things that will help us to reduce the incidence of cancer in Nigeria.
So prostate cancer, for example, is genetic, like you mentioned.
Yes.
Breast cancer could also be genetic. Yes. As well. And you know, the other ones, examples of the ones that can be caused by poor nutrition and maybe excessive intake of alcohol.
Yeah, there are other ones, like most of the upper respiratory tract infection can actually be caused by smoking, and occasionally additional addictive factors like alcohol intake. But precisely for upper respiratory tract, for upper head and neck cancers, like we call it NPC, nasopharyngeal cancers, most of them are caused by also viral infections and smoking. And also, it's important to state that bladder cancer can actually be caused by smoking, because there are some components and chemical components of these smoking, these cigarettes, and that when broken down can, you know, cause bladder cancer.
So what do you think? You talked about the rate of cancer in a country like Nigeria.
Yes.
And the death rate as well. So what makes Nigeria a peculiar case here?
Okay, it's important to state here that Nigeria is a low and middle income country. So there is poor awareness to cancer, and there's also this cultural belief that cancer is not it's just a growth that some people will want to just take away. And also it's more boils down to awareness, because when our people get to know the importance of care, and when our people get to know about the signs and symptoms and things that can predispose them, for example, I mentioned human papilloma virus, which is a major cause of cervical cancer. You know, it can be gotten through sexual intercourse. It can be gotten through a lot of fluids. If there's a fluid from an infected person that gets closer to uninfected person, the uninfected person can get this cancer. And also, it's important here to mention that when you create this awareness, people get to know about the screening. People get to know about the importance of screening. That's what we call Pap smear. Also, in breast cancer, there's what we call breast self-examination, clinical examination, and also imaging. So these are the things that if our people get to know, they will understand that these cancers are preventable.
I understand that when there's cancer awareness, they talk about early detection.
Yes.
So, and when you want to detect something early, there are symptoms you look out for. Yes. So what are the symptoms that people should first of all be aware of to ensure that they detect any abnormal growth in their body as early as possible to be able to deal with it?
Okay. Let me use breast cancer for example. We encourage people, who advocate that the moment you see a lump in any of your breasts, we advise you to seek a professional opinion. That is why we are advocating for self-examination, which you can do by yourself. And once that lump is noticed, we encourage you to present. That's part of the screening. Then in prostate cancer, there's what we call prostate-specific antigen, which we encourage our men to do, and from age of 40 to do. But when they do that, they will be able to see once there's elevation in this prostate-specific antigen, it calls for need for you to present for more evaluation. So it's very important. But for prostate cancer, there are some symptoms that you can actually see, but we don't advocate for you to wait and see the symptoms that arises from prostate cancer. One of them could be obstructive urinary symptoms, like difficulty in passing urine, like frequency, like dribbling, and also retention. So, but we don't advise, we don't recommend that you should wait to have these symptoms. We recommend that as soon as you are like 40 years for men, you should do a yearly PSA. We call it PSA, prostate specific antigen.
When you're 40 years?
Yes.
Okay, so
from 40 years.
From 40 years. So, I know that prostate cancer has to do with age. Are there other types of cancer that are peculiar to someone's age, or you can, you know, be a cancer patient regardless of how old you are?
Yeah, there are some cancers that are, we call pediatric cancers that are peculiar to children. For example, we have what we call Ewick sarcoma, we have rhabdomyosarcoma, retinoblastoma, and others.
So what are those?
Those are what we call the connective tissues, soft tissue carcinomas, soft tissue malignancies that affect, you know, some soft tissues. For example, retinoblastoma affects the tissues of the retina, and for example, neuroblastoma also affect the neural tissues of the body. So these are the peculiar to children. Yeah, but of course, in rare cases, you can see these cancers in adults, but they are peculiar to children.
Okay, so we've talked about symptoms, early detection. Let's now go to the actual crux of this conversation, which is palliative care for cancer patients. What is palliative care, first of all?
Yeah, thank you so much. That's the reason why we're here. Palliative care is more like an interdisciplinary medical caregiving approach that is aimed at, one, improving the quality of life of patients, and two, improving the quality of life of caregiver. It is important to emphasize that it has to improve the quality of life of these two parties, the patient and the caregiver. Also, it's important to state, because a lot of us make the mistake of not understanding what hospice is, the difference between hospice and palliative care, because they go hand in hand. So palliative care is more like a care, a comfort care, with or without curative intent. While hospice is comfort care without curative intent. So it is also important to state that ask that big question, who needs a palliative care attention? Now, before I go there, it's important for me to state that in the world, we have about 40 million people that are in need of palliative care. But it is quite unbelievable that out of that, 78% are from low and middle income countries, and also about 98% of children are in need of this palliative care. But 14% of the world, 14% are the people that receive this palliative care. So that calls for a reason for us to talk. That calls for a reason for us to speak to authorities to integrate this palliative care into our system, into our hospitals, into our physicians. So it is a very important topic today. And also, I want to emphasize that the primary goal of palliative care is to improve the quality of life of the patients. And it is advised that when they present early, two things happen. When they present early, you improve the quality of life of this patient. Two, when they present early, you reduce the hospital stay, and also reduce the services that the hospital will render, because most of their tissue issues are taken care of. Okay, what are also the components and the other aims of palliative care?
Okay, well, let's take a short break. When we get back, we'll go to the components and aims of palliative care. It's the Inkaba Science Show. We're discussing palliative care for cancer patients in commemoration of World Cancer Day, designed to raise awareness on cancer, encourage prevention, detection, and treatment. So this week's episode is about palliative care for cancer patients and helping them live a happy and prolonged life. Our guest in the studio is Dr. Chukwunonso Ogochukwu from Department of Radiation and Oncology, University College Hospital, UCH Ibadan. When we get back, we'll continue the conversation. I also open the phone lines for you if you have any questions for our guests in the studio after this break. Don't go away.
Dad, why does the sun follow me everywhere I go?
I think it's actually just everywhere you go.
What do you mean, Daddy?
My son. Well, science explains how the Earth revolves around the sun.
Interesting, Dad. I thought the Earth is a stationary object. How does it revolve around the sun?
I don't have an accurate answer for this, but I do know where to find answers. The Inkaba Science Show on the Beat 97.9 FM, Ibadan.
Okay, Daddy.
Son, where are you off to?
I'm off to tell my friends to tune in to the Inkaba Science Show every Monday on the Beat 97.9 FM Ibadan by 9 a.m. and also catch the repeat broadcast on Thursday by 5 p.m. We can't miss it!
The Inkaba Science Show, powered by Inkaba Biotech, Africa's genomics company.
This is the Inkaba Science Show.
Welcome back. It's the Inkaba Science Show on the Beat 97.9 FM. Remember, you can also listen or download previous episodes of the Inkaba Science Show on Google, Anchor, and Spotify on the Inkaba Science Show podcast. Listen to the show every Monday, 9 o'clock to 9:45, and it'll be broadcast of the episode on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Today, we're discussing palliative care for cancer patients. We've started by looking at cancer symptoms, early detection, and what have you. So, we're delving into main focus of today's program, which is about palliative care for cancer patients across the world, to actually help them to live a more happy and prolonged life. So if you have any question for our guest in the studio, is Dr. Chukwuma Nsogo Chukwu from Department of Radiation and Oncology, University College Hospital, UCHE Ibadan. The number to call is 0700-1000-979. 0700-1000-979. You can also drop your message on WhatsApp, 0818-888-9979. So Doctor, you were talking about palliative care before we went on that break.
It's important to state the aims of these palliative cares, because by the time you understand the aim, you appreciate what we are doing. You know, one of the aims of apart from the basic goals which I mentioned earlier about improving the quality of life of patient and the caregiver, other things that are peculiar to the aim in particular of palliative care are: one, preventive measures. Why we are talking about palliative care today is for people to understand there are things you do to prevent cancers.
Okay.
You know, you don't just a lot of people say that cancer is a death sentence, but we don't believe that. We believe that if cancer is caught early, you know, there are curative measures that can be taken to take care of it. So the second aim of this palliative care is what we call early detection. Early detection. You prevent yourself from having it. The second thing is early detection. When you have it and it's detected early, it becomes easier for the physician to give the patient a curative escape out of the problem. Now, the third measure is what we also call comprehensive assessment. When you assess your patient properly, you'll be able to say, okay, this patient is in stage one disease, is an early disease, is a stage two disease, is an advanced disease, is a patient that requires palliative care, is a patient that requires other cares. Like I mentioned, I want to take back what I said initially about the definition of palliative. It's an interdisciplinary medical approach towards giving care. What does it mean to be interdisciplinary? You know, it involves other specialties. It involves the respiratory physician, the cardiothoracic surgeons, the general surgeons, the gyno-oncologists, the radiation oncologists, the pathologists. It involves a lot of areas or specialties, and that is why we're advocating for it today, so that people will understand. Then the other part of the aim of palliative care is what we call management of physical symptoms. Very important. Physical symptoms like pain, taking care of the wounds of the patient, because most of these cancers present with wounds and ulcers, you know. And also, it's also very important to mention here that things like pain is very, very important in cancer management. Very important. Most of the patients with cancer, they come down with pain, you know. And when you take care of the pain properly, you know, you have actually taken that care of that fiscal aspect of palliative care. Also, it is very important to mention that we have things like emotional trauma, emotional like social disturbances and distresses like anxiety, depression. As you know, when you are told about that you have cancer, you feel it's a death sentence. Some go into depression, some are anxious about cancer treatment. It is important that you talk about it. It is important that a palliative care expert talks about it, because when they do, you'll be able to understand that these things have a way out. And also, finally, it's very important to state that as part of the component that there are spiritual aspects. Some believe that the reason why they have cancer is because they are cursed or God is angry with them. So it is important that the palliative care expert speaks to them, you know, allays their fear and understand them, allows them to voice out their fears and also to speak to them on areas that will also improve them. And at the end of the day, is to give you an improved quality of life, and also improved quality of life for the people that are there to take care of the cancer patient.
I think the first important part of this palliative care is what individuals can do to prevent or detect it early. So I think we've first of all highlighted the possible causes of cancer. The first one, you talked about the genetic factor, and then the ones that we induce ourselves, maybe exposure to environmentally hazardous materials, excessive consumption of alcohol and what have you. So in the first stage of palliative care, what is expected of us as individuals in relation to preventing cancer?
Okay, before I go to the question, it is very important for me to state, you know, to explain who needs a palliative care.
Okay.
You know, it's, you know, most people, even most physicians, believe that palliative care is given towards the end of life. That's not true. Palliative care is started at the beginning of diagnosis, and it goes at the same time with treatment. So when a patient is diagnosed of cancer, for example, palliative care is supposed to begin, because there are some symptoms that come with this cancer. We have psychosocial issues, like I said. You have anxiety, you have pain. These are palliative care issues. We have the financial aspect. That is also very critical to mention here, that financial aspect, financial problems.
Okay, doctor, we have a message on WhatsApp. It says, good morning, this is Matthew from Yano Church. What is the common cause of breast cancer?
Okay, breast cancer, it's, like I said earlier, is genetic. There are a lot of causes. You know, there's no particular cause of cancer. Well, let me point out very clearly that you don't call it causes. We call it, you know, factors. Predisposing factors.
Okay. And so what are the predisposing factors?
Okay, for example, we have what we call early menarche, late menopause for women. We have women that have used contraceptives in the past. We have women that have had history of breast lesion in the past. We have also the genetic aspect. The genetic aspect, let me explain it clearly, is when you have a relative or a sister that has a breast cancer. There's a possibility that the mother that has cancer, that the daughters might possibly have cancer. And that's where we bring in the factor, the mutation like I mentioned earlier. We call it BRCA mutation. So in totality, there's no particular cause of breast cancer.
But
factors.
Okay.
Like I made mention, genetic factor. Also, alcohol intake can be a cause of breast cancer. We have nulliparity. Nulliparity is women that did not give birth, did not conceive, have not conceived. We have early menarche, we have late menarche, we also have exposure to oral contraceptives. You know, so these are the few.
But breast control pills?
Yes. But a particular one is a little bit controversial, but it's also important to mention that it's part of it. But and also important to mention that part of the cause is also people that are exposed to even benign lesions. Maybe fibrocystic disease, we call it fibrocystic disease, in the past. is not a malignant lesion, but it's a benign lesion. So there's a possibility that this patient might be predisposed to having breast cancer.
Mm. All right, 0700-1000-979. That's the number to call. You can send a message on WhatsApp. That's 0818-888-9979. We're discussing palliative care for cancer patients as part of the commemoration of World Cancer Day on the 4th of February 2022 to raise awareness on breast cancer detection and prevention. So before the message came in, you were, you know, explaining the aspects of palliative care for cancer patients.
Okay, so it's also important, you know, having explained the aims of palliative care, I made mention of preventive measures, early detection, and comprehensive assessments.
We have a call, doctor. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Morning, where are you calling from?
My name is Joseph. I'm calling from Mania.
All right, Joseph, go ahead.
My question is it possible for someone who has been tested for cancer, diagnosed for cancer wrongly, not feel anything after they've gone through the chemo and the radiology department and everything? Because this person in particular is above 50 and she has had the complaint of not even feeling any pain anymore after surgery, after the cancerous part of the body has been removed.
So you're saying that the person was initially diagnosed with cancer, went through chemo, went through all of this, and there was no growth seen afterwards?
Even before she was diagnosed, she was not feeling any pain at all, no pain, no nothing, no lump at all. But she's still saying that she's not feeling any pain after she has gone through those two stages of therapy.
Yeah, my brother, we need to know the type of cancer. We need to know the type of cancer because that will help us.
Okay, thank you. Doctor will answer you. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
It's important that we know the type of cancer you're talking about because, you know, there are some cancers like, for example, breast cancers that you have lump, palpable lump. There are also some cancers that we have intraductal. You might not be able to have lump, but you have things like nipple discharge, retraction, and all that. And when the biopsy is taken, it reveals the histology. So it depends on the type of cancer. Like things like prostate cancer, you cannot actually see the growth yourself. You have symptoms, obstructive urinary symptoms, and these are things that will now prompt you to go for evaluation.
0700-1000-979, that's the number to call, or 0200-888-9979 if you want to send a message on WhatsApp. Yeah, go ahead with what you were talking about before the call came in.
Okay, I was talking about trying to summarize the aims of palliative care. I made mention of preventive. Very important. I made mention of early detection. I made mention of comprehensive assessment. I made mention of management of physical symptoms, emotional symptoms, management of also things like psychosocial issues and religious spiritual issues. So I dealt with it and I explained that these are important aspects of palliative care because, for example, you know, let me paint a picture of a patient with probably nasopharyngeal cancers. There are a lot of symptoms. We have neck swelling. Some of these swellings come with pain, neck pain. Some come with epistasis. Some come with difficulty in breathing. Some comes with difficulty in hearing. So when you as a palliative care physician, when you assess this patient, okay, the patient has presented, and you assess this patient, you know, it is important for you to tease out some certain things, like from one, the psychosocial aspect of having diagnosed of cancer, the anxiety involved, the depression involved. You might not know this. Very important. That is why it's important to integrate palliative care into our system. You might not know this, you know, but when a specialist, you know, assesses the patient, evaluates the patient, you'll be able to tease out this depression, anxiety, and when you take care of it, the patient's quality of life improves. Okay, for those with pain, we assess them with pain tools, you know, we'll be able to ascertain, is it pain score 4, 2, 3, depending on the severity and depending on what the patient says the pain is. The score is rather. Now, when we are able to assess the score, we were able to say, okay, let us use what we call WHO ladder in management of this pain. So, and it is important for us to understand this. And when you manage this pain with the pain ladder, you like I say, it's a ladder. So it kind of go up from the mild, moderate to severe symptoms, and these symptoms correlate with type of drug, pain, analgesics that you use for these patients. So it is important, and when you take care of this pain, you see the patient becomes a little happier. When you take care of the psychosocial aspect, the patient becomes happier. When you take care of the financial issues, because financial issue is also part of it. When you take care of it, how do you do that? You don't do that by giving patient money. Of course, if you have, you can do that. But there are ways you can be able to source funds for the there are some foundations, there are some even in this area, there are some foundations that take care of cancer patients. So by the time you understand that this patient is having challenges with care, you'll be able to associate with some of these foundations and help these patients.
Mm.
So these are ways that you can actually palliate the symptoms of this patient. And also, it's important to state that in palliation, you are taking care of the symptom. One, you are trying to prolong the life of the patient, and at the end of the day, improve the quality of life. If it's very important for me to explain this properly. You take care of the symptom, which is pain. For example, you think of improving the patient's quality of life.
Doctor, let's take this call. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Yes.
Good morning to our doctor. My name is Adela Laliko, calling from Adeboja area.
Yes.
I would love to know prostate cancer. Number one, then number two, if it is obvious that all cancer patients lose or lose their hair.
Okay.
Yeah, and
lose their hair. Okay. And again, you have another one? Hello? Oh, okay. So the first question he asked was the causes of prostate cancer, and then he asked if it's in all cases that cancer patients lose their hair.
Okay, thank you very much for that question. Okay, let me start from the last question. You know, it's not in all. It depends on the type of cancer, but it is very important for me to state here that some of the treatments, especially chemotherapy given to cancer patients, part of the side effect of that is hair loss.
Okay.
So it's not the cancer itself. In most cases, is the treatment.
Okay.
Chemotherapy. In other cases, you can have other treatment modalities that can actually cause that. But commonly, it's chemotherapy. Then the other question you talked about,
the causes of
prostate cancer. Like I mentioned earlier, you have hereditary causes, then you have dietary causes, like things like, for example, people who don't eat vegetables a lot, people who don't eat vegetables.
They have prostate cancer?
It's protective.
Okay.
It's protective. So if you don't take it, if you don't take those things, you are predisposed to having it. Now, like I said earlier, that don't take things like lycopene is like tomato. It's just very important that people get to know about this. You know, if you eat a lot of tomatoes, it will help to. It comes as a like of a kind of protective measures. Protective. So basically, we have hereditary factors. We have, which is very common. Then you have things like.
So the hereditary factor is the most dominant.
Yes, it is important. Yes.
Okay, and then the dietary.
The dietary aspect, when you don't eat vegetables, you are more likely to have that.
Mm, so when you have a history of prostate cancer in your family, you should
be able
yourself.
To check yourself, yes.
Mm. 0700-10979, that's the number to call. If you have any question for our doctor in the studio, we're discussing palliative care for cancer patients in commemoration of World Cancer Day right here on the Inkabar Science Show. So according to the WHO, doctor, cancer is the second leading cause of death globally.
Exactly.
According to accounting for an estimated 9.6 million deaths, that's one in six deaths as of 2018.
Yes.
Lungs, prostate cancer, colorectal, stomach or liver cancer are the most common type of cancer in men.
Yes.
While for women, they have breast, lung, cervical, thyroid cancer as the most common in women. Why is the gender disparity there?
Well, it's it's not really like more it's just like a study that was done. There are some cancers that are peculiar to a particular sex. There are some that are peculiar to the other sex. So it's not like there's a particular cause why we have gender disparity. No. I don't believe that. It's more like a study that was done, and it was found out that this group of this sex, you know, had more cancers than the other. You know, for example, in breast cancer is commoner in females than male. Of course, males have prostate cancers and females don't. And also in head and neck cancers, there are peculiarities with sex too. So it's important to state that there's no particular reason why a group of people have more than the other.
And this message, the person in poor name just says, Doctor, what is the cause of leukemia? Okay, Doctor?
Okay, leukemia is more like the cancer of the blood.
Right.
So it has a lot to do with you know, there are some occasions where you have viral implications, and in other cases you have, you know, a kind of genetic implications also. So it's important that when you have the signs and symptoms of these, which could be what we call pancytopenia, that means decreased level of basically all the blood parameters. You know, you have always go to hospital for blood transfusion, you notice that your blood level is always low, is always important for you to present to an expert who will take a look at you and be able to evaluate it properly.
So it's also mostly genetic as well.
Yes, and viral too.
Okay, so let's now look at let's go back to our conversation on palliative care. That's another message that came in via WhatsApp. So let's look at you talked about the challenges of palliative care, especially in middle and low income countries where you have a high prevalence of cancer like Nigeria.
Yeah, that's a very important thing to also discuss here. You know, in low and middle income countries like ours, in our Africa in general, you know, the problems are the barriers that we have is that there's no particular national policy that integrates or that funds palliative care. You know, very important. Some of them are coming up recently, but in the past we don't have national policies that encourage palliative care for our patients. Like you mentioned earlier, cancer is second leading cause of death. We have other serious illnesses. In fact, the leading cause is cardiovascular disease. So all these can actually have, you know, palliative care, you know, but what we are talking today is cancer. So other barriers that can also arise, you know, why people we are not getting enough of palliative care in this part of the world. That's a problem. We need to integrate the poor integration of palliative care in our institutions, in our universities, even among our colleagues and physicians. That is why we need to integrate them. We need to bring them. It's not a must that they must. It's not, you know, we're not saying they should be a palliative care expert. No. What we're saying is for them to be trained, for them to have an understanding of palliative care, for them to know when to refer to palliative care experts. It is very important. Other barriers are unaccessibility of some of the medications that we use in palliative care, like morphine. You know, most of the times we have morphine in Nigeria, of course, but we don't have the to the level that is needed internationally and even in Africa. So these are things that can actually pose as a barrier to us having adequate palliative care in this environment.
Okay, so what can we do to encourage use of palliative care in the spirit of creating awareness on cancer, you know, the part of the patient and the person giving the care as well?
Thank you very much. That is why we're here. You know, we need to talk about this. So one of them is to integrate national policies. Integrate national policies, health policies in our system that will encourage palliative care, and also to fund programs on palliative care. The second thing that we need to do is to train our physicians, train our doctors. Initially, when I came into my program, I didn't know much about palliative care, but I was taught, I was exposed to programs both in Nigeria and abroad, and I got to know about palliative care, and I knew and I discovered that this palliative care is a very important aspect of management in cancer patients. And also other things is making these medications available. The government, we encourage our government to look into policies that will make these drugs. They make these drugs because these drugs are very important. Like I made them mention earlier about morphine, very important, and it works for our patients, you know. And we encourage them to make policies that will make these drugs available. And when they're available, like I said earlier, it improves the quality of life of patients, and at the same time, the caregivers are not worried, they are not bothered about the symptoms of their of their relatives.
Okay, so just before we go, finally, we've talked about care for cancer patients. What are the, what are about those who don't have it? The kind of lifestyle they need to imbibe to prevent them from being exposed to those factors that we've highlighted before. The kind of lifestyle that we can imbibe on a daily basis.
Of course, it's important also, as we conclude, to state about the preventive measures. And these are one, you know, try to avoid some certain things like smoking, because it can cause, like I made mention earlier, it can cause lung cancer, it can cause bladder cancer. It's important for people to know this. It can cause bladder. So you avoid smoking, you reduce your alcohol intake, and if you can, you stop your alcohol intake. Then other things are viral infections. Unprotected sex can expose you to human papillomavirus. Avoid unprotected sex because it can predispose you to cervical cancer or gynecological cancer in totality. So it is important for us to do it, and also to eat adequate vegetables. Eat things like lycopene, that contains lycopene, like tomatoes, that will encourage you to that will form as a protective, you know, protection against prostate cancer. And also reduce diet, fat dietary intake in terms of, you know, colorectal cancer. We encourage our patients to reduce their dietary intake. Exercise very well, very important. You know, when you do this, and we believe that, you know, when you do all this, you can help to it can help you to reduce the possibility of having cancers.
I've also heard people talk about some particular food items that carry, how do I put it now, that if you eat them, it potentially exposes you to cancer. Some of them talk about genetically modified food. They talk about certain brands of noodles as well. I've heard different theories like that. So from an expert point of view, how true are some of these claims?
Well, I'm not informed about that. You know, I am not informed about that because I can't be talking about the.
Let's take this call. Hello. Yes, you are the final caller, very quickly.
Okay.
I can't hear you clearly.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Well, I learned about genital what?
Genital what, okay.
Yes, I learned. It is caused by HPV virus.
Okay, I want him to shed light on that.
It's important for me to educate us also that we have types of HPV viruses. There are types that are peculiar that can cause cervical cancers. There are also types that are that commonly cause the genital warts. Okay, so the issue of fertility for people with genital warts, I want you to refer you to see a gynecologist to educate you more on that.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much, Dr. Chukwuma Osogbo Chukwu, for being a part of the Inkaba Science Show.
Thank you.
We've been discussing the palliative care for cancer patients. Thank you so much for joining us. With appreciate you for calling and sending your messages for the experts. And remember, the Inkaba Science Show is also available on Google, Anchor, and Spotify. That's Inkaba Science Show podcast. Thank you very much for being